Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. So the good thing and bad thing about a podcast is that I can do this over and over until I'm like, I have the perfect episode. And sharing that because part of what I realized in recording this episode that I was trying to make it too produced and realizing just need to share some truths because I know other guys struggle with this and how can I help you out in that the struggle that you might have. So here's the issue that I've been wrestling with. And then there's really two things that come out of this. One, it's in a marriage context, and the other is in a friendship. And yes, friendship and marriage go together. Anyways, here's what I've been struggling with lately is that this old belief that I had that sex is intimacy, right? That sex is synonymous with intimacy. That if my partner and I are having sex regularly, the marriage is healthy, the marriage is good, right? I mean, that's the belief I had. And I would say a lot of guys believe that, right? We think that if my partner and I are having sex, it must be good. And now, that isn't to say that's not true, right? There is some truth to that, to where if you and your partner are having sex regularly, it does mean you're doing something right, because you're both okay to be vulnerable and open and together, you know, in that true intimate moment. And not to say that sex isn't intimate and isn't a form of intimacy. It is, but it's not the only thing. And so the thought process that I come through is that, as you know, now that I'm divorced, going, okay, I haven't had sex in years, which is awful. But also beginning to think, can I live without sex? Yes, people do it all the time, right? They live without having sex. So it's possible. And the reason, you know, why I'm saying that is because as a Christian, you know, I believe sex is meant for marriage, right? Sex should only happen within marriage. And so, you know, that's what I'm going to believe and honor. And I mean, there's a variety of reasons. And I think there's a whole another episode I might do of like, why should we wait to have sex and all that as we talk to our kids? Because it is something I wrestle with as I try to tell my kids, because I don't know if I really had a thing as a kid. Anyways, it's another episode. So the idea is that sex and intimacy, how do those work together? How do you wrestle with that if I'm not going to have sex, does that mean I'm not going to get to have intimacy? You go, no, because the bigger thing is that we're all made for connection, right? We're all made to belong, right? We want to belong, and we want to be loved and to love, right? To belong and have purpose, right? That's the deep desire within all of us, that we want to be known and we want to you know, make a difference. And so we need connection. And they talk about, like, if you don't have connection, it just isn't going to end up well for you. So I'm going, okay, I have to have connection somehow. So if I'm not getting it from sex, how am I getting an intimate connection? And it's, you know, may probably not will be, you know, with a woman, because that means I'd have to be dating and doing all that. And at this point, I'm like, ugh, let's forget about that stuff. Props to everybody who's dating when you're 30, especially if it's been years. You go, what is happening? Anyways, beginning to understand, how do I cultivate friendships, intimate friendships? And again, I know a lot of us guys are like, oh, intimate means sex. No, you can be intimate without having sex, guys. Come on, that's the whole point of this. That's what we're trying to help you understand. So that's really the two things that have come out of this is I've processed through it of like, how do you have intimacy outside of marriage and not sex, not physical intimacy, but how do you have intimate friendships, and then how do you have that within a marriage, right? So you want to have an intimate friendship with your spouse, and there's sex, you know, and all that, but like, they are different. So then how do we we, how do, you know, as guys, and I'm helping guys out, I'm not doing it right now myself, develop intimacy within our marriage? And how do we get over this thought process of sex is synonymous with intimacy, right? Because here's where I'm at. I don't know if any of you can relate to this. Growing up as a Christian, right? As I said, sex is meant for marriage, within the confines of marriage, within a marriage relationship. That's when you only should have sex. And there's a variety of reasons, as I said. I'd be happy to talk about that. But as a kid, you know, you're taught, and I don't know if this is everybody, this is at least me, that sex is like the apex. Like, that is the greatest achievement you can have in life, is getting married and having sex. Like, you get married to have sex, and sex is amazing and wonderful and great. It's good. Before, it's awful, but in there, it's amazing and wonderful. And like, that's like what you're striving for. Like, that's the finish line, right? Because we're taught that, you know, from the Bible, you know, man leaves his mother and father, and the two, you know, then he goes to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And it's always like, yeah, you become one because you guys are, you know, you're doing it. And then that's it. Like, it doesn't go beyond that. Like, the emotional, even the mental side of things, of like how you are bonding to each other because of what's happening in your brain. Like, none of that is ever explained. It's just like, yeah, have sex. And if you're having sex, your marriage is great. And like, that's the litmus test, is that if we're having sex, it's all good. And there is some truth to that. Like, if you're good with each other, there'll be sex happen. And so that's where my thought process is, like, how is from growing up, that sex is like the ultimate goal. And then you add to it that, like, sex was a big deal because I was, you know, looking at porn, right? And I mean, it's crazy to think about, you know, that I spent 20 years addicted to looking at that crap. So, like, my view of sex was shaped when I was 12 in porn, and going, this is what it is, and this is what women clearly want. And there's nothing else like helping me. And the other thing is, like, just then using porn as a coping mechanism, to where I just killed all my feelings. So, like, the emotional side of things were gone, and then intellectual, mental is gone as well, because my brain is just consumed with, how do I get my next fix, and how do I hide this secret from my spouse, right? So the intimacy is dead, and this is where I, like, this is how I begin to think about it in my head, right? Sex is the most intimate thing you can do within a marriage, I would say, right? Again, it's not synonymous with intimacy. You can have other intimate things. But here's why I say that, and here's the caveat of how it can be the most intimate thing. Because in sex, you are completely naked, right? I mean, literally naked. And then you come together, and, you know, the man enters the woman, to where you are literally one. Like, you can't get any closer physically than that. And that's the idea of intimacy, right? That's the picture we're supposed to have, not of having sex, but that there's nothing in between us, that all our flaws, desires, secrets, there's nothing there. It's just two people completely vulnerable and naked before each other. That's true intimacy. The issue comes is when one of the partners intersects with a shirt on, right? I mean, think about it. Is that then there's something in between you two. And obviously, like, yes, you can have sex with articles of clothing on, but if we're all honest, it's like, it's not the same, right? And it's interesting too, of like, how this is, as I thought about this, how this played out, right? So my thought is, right, you and your wife, true intimacy, you're completely naked. Bringing secrets into that is like wearing a shirt. So for me, I had this shirt of porn on. And so then I would be with my spouse close, but not as close as we could possibly get, right? And I mean, there's other secret, you know, then you've got that, and then you've got, you know, like, the wounds that you have that you're processing or hide or don't do stuff, and that's causing, you know, that physical barrier. You know, then you add my spouse, who also had a shirt on of the stuff that she was doing. And so you had two people coming together to where, yeah, they were having, you know, physical, whatever, but there's barriers in between them. So they're not as close as they possibly can get. So it's not as wonderful and great as it was. And an interesting thing too, like I think about this in real life, I think about the end of my marriage as crap is going to where, like, if I was actually connected to my spouse and truly intimate, right? Because it's not just physical. If it was just physical, then it would all worked out. But there was more than just the physical. And if I would have understood intimacy as this closeness that is emotional, intellectual, spiritual, there's different aspects, and took the time to cultivate that, I would have made the connection that as my spouse and I are having sex, she rarely takes her shirt off. Rarely even takes, I mean, it's kind of just like, yeah, sure, here, I'll lay, and you just come over to me, right? Like, shirt, physical, actual shirt was on, is a sign, right, that I'm not okay to be completely vulnerable with you. And I'm not saying anything against, you know, her, it's her issues, that stuff, and that's whatever. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, holy cow, that proves my point of just this illustration that I have, that where we come together and one of us is wearing a shirt, where some of your spouses are doing that. And you go, well, they have, you know, whatever issue. And it may just be there's some body issues and there's nothing you've done wrong. You know, it's not like every time your spouse wears a shirt, it means she's having an affair. That's not what I'm saying. But it's something to cover ourselves up, to hide behind. It's the same that Adam and Eve did, right? When they were naked and ashamed, what'd they do? They covered themselves up. Because let's get into that. You think about in the beginning, right? God is awesome. And in the beginning, God created the heavens, the earth. Then God creates man, right? In Genesis 2, it says that God formed the man. He gave the man, so the man begins to name the livestock. And then it says, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. There's that deep desire that we all have, that we want someone with us. We want connection. So Adam doesn't have the helper. So then what does God do? God creates this woman. And this is where you have the famous passage, bone of bone, flesh of flesh, you know, they shall be one. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 2, it said, Adam and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. That's the true intimacy. And this is before the fall. This is before sin has entered in. Right? And so they are truly, physically, everything, naked. There's no shame. There's nothing in between them. Adam looks at his wife. Eve looks at her husband and go, this is awesome. There's no shame. There's no t-shirts on, right? The fall comes, and what immediately happens? Adam and Eve, they eat. It says in verse 7 of chapter 3, the eyes of both of them are open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together, made coverings for themselves. They were naked and ashamed now, because they realized there's something not right. And now they begin to be self-conscious of these issues and these things going on. And for us men, like, we have to pay attention to those signs of going, oh man, one, look at ourselves, like, is there a fig leaf I'm wearing to hide myself from my spouse? Is there something I'm hiding from her? Some of it you may know, and some of it may just be stuff. It's a wound you haven't processed through, but you know there's something there, right? It happens, like, right, for me, you know, begin to process through the wounds from my dad and my parents and the stuff there. It wasn't that I was intentionally hiding stuff from her, you know, like the pornography, I was intentionally hiding that. But as I began to process through the porn issue, I began to get to the deeper levels, understand what's there, to where then I open up, right? And now I can be be truly intimate with someone, because I can go, look, like, I don't have any secrets to hide. Because when the secrets, they destroy you. Like, the secrets are awful. And this is like, you can't have intimacy if you have secrets. Like, that's just common knowledge. Like, we shouldn't even have to say that, if I have secrets, we can be no. Like, you and your spouse are supposed to be open. They are supposed to know everything about you, and you're supposed to know everything about them. There shouldn't be any secrets. And so the challenge for us men is to begin to, like, process through, one, going, is if that's the way you think of, like, yes, yeah, sex equals intimacy. No, sex is an intimate thing. But how do you cultivate it? Because your sex will be so much better if you work on everything else, right? To where then you come and are completely naked, come together and are completely naked, and there's no shame. That's what God's design was when he created man and woman, that they'd see each other. There's no shame. There's just love for each other. But as we begin to have these issues, like, we have problems. And so there's a book that is pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of marriage books, but this one I really liked. It's by Ben Stewart. It's Single, Dating, Engaged, Married. And I just like, because he goes through the whole process and just talks about the different stages. And it's just really good. But he talks about, here's a couple of things, right, guys, that you can do to begin to initiate intimacy. And as he says it, you create an environment where your wives can flourish and grow and just, yeah, be okay to be naked in front of you, right? So the first one is initiate romance. Plan dates. Go out with them. I like what he says. Men, you must fight back against the current of complacency. Initiate, right? Instead of coming home, you're tired, turn on TV, and then that's it. Take her to a restaurant. Write notes. Plan vacations. And yeah, like he says, I talked to many divorced people and said, well, we fell out of love. No, you didn't fall out of love. You fell out of trying. And I like this. Any fire, the flames of romance must be tended to or they will grow cold. Stoke the flames. All right, so number one is initiate romance. And again, guys, nowhere in this did he say sex. Initiate sex. The way that I've begun to think about it, right, sex is a byproduct. Sex is the result of all your other work. And it's not necessarily, I wouldn't say the climax, but by doing these other things, yes, you'll get sex, but you'll also, I would say, realize there's a more fulfilling relationship when you begin to grow these other things. You're like, oh yeah, sure, like, let's have sex and be together, enjoy that, but knowing it's only going to last 10 seconds, 11 if you're lucky, because the rest of your life you have each other. You're not gonna, I mean, 10 seconds out of the whole day is nothing. You have the whole day, the whole week to cultivate and grow these things. And so number one, right, you initiate romance with her. Number two, you initiate communication. And he says, you know, this, he's talking about a seminary professor told him, it says, never go to bed if you sense something is wrong with your girl. That may make for some long nights and maybe a few sleepless ones, but joy will come in the morning. He said, and then he advises us to that the way to make sure you do this is initiate a time, check this out, to pray together with your wife each night before you go to bed. He says, the reason, it's really hard to pray for someone when you are mad. Now, some of you, if you're like, I'm not a Christian, I don't believe this. Okay, you don't have to pray. Take some time at the end of the day just to say, hey, how are you doing? I know it's hard, and I know it's difficult, especially if you have kids, of like, how do you find that time of, you come home, she's going, hey, take the kids, I need a break, or whatever it might be. The kids are crazy, you're doing all that. You finally get in bed and you go, I'm just going to bed. But that's, again, that's complacency. That's where you begin to stop and say, no, we have to take time to talk to each other, and not like, no, we got to talk to each other. but making it important. And maybe it's even as simple as like writing a note like, hey, you're going to bed. Here's my day. How are you doing? And leave that for her to where she can see it in the morning and respond. Like there's a variety of ways to do it, but it's just initiating it. And I'm guilty. Like I know I didn't initiate any of this stuff to where, yeah, I just, poof, the flames of romance just died. And I guess defending myself. I'm not saying if I did all these things, it would have, you know, saved the marriage. Because who knows, right? It takes two. It takes two to make a thing go right. Okay, there's some work to it. But I know it could have been a little better. And who knows, could have been different, right? If I would have done some of these things. And again, it's not all on the guy. That's the point he's going to get to later with these. It's not all about the guy just being a slave to the woman. Make sure this. The woman can do the same thing as well. Right. But men, you can lead and do stuff. But women, can, right, say, hey, I planned a date for us. Or, hey, I have an idea. Hey, I surprised you with this. Or, hey, I mean, that's the point. So number three, then he says, initiate spiritual leadership. Again, if you're not a Christian, you're like, eh. But just be the leader. And the whole thing is just initiating conversations where you guys, like with your kids, talking about God. And being the spiritual leader of just making it important. And I know that's hard. Some guys will be like, that's so awkward. Right? You think in the pray at the end of the night, you're like, oh, it's so awkward. It's not going to be awkward after the 300th time. It's going to take a little bit, but get after it, right? Everything was awkward at the beginning. Start it. Just start it. And it doesn't have to be a planned out, 6-point sermon. Just ways to where, you can do things. Like a simple thing I'm doing with my kids, I just use the Bible app. There's the kids' story of the day. We click on that. We watch it, listen, discuss it, and go to school. And it takes us 5 minutes, 10 at the most if it gets intense. But that's easy. And then we pray. And it's there. I don't have to think about anything. Just someone's talking. We talk about it. Move on. My grandparents, what'd they do? The daily bread. Every day at breakfast, they'd read the daily bread, read the Bible, move on. Super simple ways that we can do it. We just overcomplicate stuff, make it so complicated. Same with the romance. Like, oh, we got to plan a date. We got to get a babysitter. No. I've got friends, right, that talk about dates at home. Once the kids are gone, hey, we're going to get the kids to bed early or this time. I've got, a bottle of wine. I've got our movie. Let's, we're going to have it here. Like, you just have to be proactive. And then the last one he says is initiate sacrifice. And he says, embrace whatever inconveniences are necessary to ensure you've created an environment where your wife can flourish. And he says, flourish under God. And I like this, right? He says, if the budget includes line items for all your technology and toys, but not time for her to get a babysitter so she can spend time with friends, you need to rethink your financial strategy. And I like this. He says, I know too many men who find the things they like to be necessities and the things she needs as obligations. Your leadership of your family should always lead to places where you help them out, help them flourish. If your leadership is all about you, you're missing the point. Study your wife. I like this. Continuously ask God, your wife, and yourself, what does she need to help her to be fully who she meant to be under God. That's a great thing. I mean, you should always be studying your wife, but then asking God, yourself, and her of like, how can I help you? And it's not to say just men are the only ones to do this. Women, they should do the same thing as well, right? To where you begin to cultivate this intimate relationship, right? To where the physical, that's going to happen. Come on, guys want to have sex. It's going to, but you can also then talk to each other and say, like, I don't like when you do this, or I like this. There's one guy, he talks about, like, they would, him and his wife, they would put what they want in, like, an envelope, like, sexually, and put it in there, and then, they have different ones, and put them in place, say, okay, today we're going to try one of these. And they open it up, and it's something, And the spouses, and not like, no, we can't do it. It's like, okay, let's just try it once and then talk about it and go, yeah, I hated that, or that was weird, or what, like, but it's just this great way to process through and just keep growing in that area, you know, then emotional, that's the check-in, checking in with your spouse, see what they're going on. The romance, that's, again, like the emotional, you can get the physical, the spiritual, like if you're doing things together, you're going to have that closeness, that connection of like, you know, we played a round of golf together. Oh, that was fun. Or we did a cooking class, like something to where you achieve a win. Because think about our teams that we play on. Why do we get such a closeness with the teams we play on? Because we accomplished a goal, right? It goes back to the, we all want to belong. We all want to have a purpose. If you guys are connected, then have a purpose together. Like we did this, you're going to be excited. And then like the fruits that come out of that are fantastic. And so that's just one of the things I've been chewing on as I've just processed through. Like if sex doesn't mean intimacy, what is intimacy, or how do you begin to cultivate intimacy with your spouse? And so I don't know. Hopefully that helps you guys out to just take some time, even if it just makes you just stop and go, oh man, maybe I need to rethink some things here to help her out. You know, or is it, yeah, what shirt am I wearing, or is she wearing a shirt? Just to take time and just go talk to him. Just do like Ben said, just don't become complacent, man. Go fan the flames of that, of your romance. And I'm not going to guarantee it, but if you do those things, your sex life is probably going to get way better, right? If you are pursuing her, she's going to go, that is so sexy. Like, I'm yours. So thanks again for listening to this episode, and we will see you guys next time. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.